decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It's Friday. Yes, it is Friday. That means Sunday's coming. That means you need to be making plans to go to church. Go to church on Sundays. Fellowship with the saints. Do not forsake the gathering together of the church of God. It is where you need to be this weekend. This is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast that is dedicated primarily to the public reading of Scripture and secondarily to my thoughts on various topics of today. And today being Friday, it's Federalist Friday, and we are continuing our read-through of the United States Constitution before we begin reading through the Federalist Papers, which we will be... We actually already started because I read Federalist 1 as an introduction to this whole thing. But after we finish our read-through of the Constitution in a couple of weeks, we are going to start with Federalist number 2, and we're going to read all 85 of them because they are foundational to an understanding of America's form of government. And this is something that is no longer taught in our schools. Most citizens of the United States have never read the Constitution, let alone the Federalist Papers, have little or no concept of the issues that went into the forming of our government. And so we're going to be going through those between now and when we end, some 90 weeks from now, because it's going to take us that long to go through it. And so this will take us well past the midterm elections, but it's a good study for those of us who live in the United States. And if you're watching or listening to Squirrel Chatter outside the United States, maybe it'll be good for you too, because you might not understand. Although I have discovered, just in talking to people, that foreigners, especially foreigners who have lived in the United States, have a much better understanding of our government than most Americans do, which is sad. And when you consider that, at least in the Montana school system, and I think it's kind of standardized across the nation, in eighth grade and junior high, you get U.S. history. In the 11th grade in high school, you get U.S. history. And in the 12th grade, you get U.S. government. Yet, these topics are not being taught. So we need to, we are going through them for your benefit and hopefully to try to clarify in your mind some of the issues regarding our nation and the constitutional form of government that we have been given and that we are rapidly squandering. And so that's why we're doing Federalist Fridays. The Bible says that all authority that is given to man is given by God. And in the United States, each citizen has the authority to help pick our government. And therefore, we need to use that authority wisely and knowledgeably, because it is a God-given authority. So that is why we're doing Federalist Fridays. All right. We're also reading through the entire Legacy Standard Bible this year. And our Bible readings today are going to be 2 Kings 4 through 6 and Matthew chapter 5. Before we get started, I do want to remind you that Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. You can head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com, check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You are sure to find something that's worth sticking in your earbuds. Give me a sip of coffee this morning. All right, let us begin, as is our habit, with the Prayer of Confession from the Book of Common Prayer of 1552. And beginning with a prayer of confession is a good habit to have. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now our prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So now 2 Kings chapter 4. My morning frog is in full effect. Here at Squirrel Manor, the weather's been hot. It's been in the 90s. But being in the mountains, it cools off nicely at night. I think it was 48 this morning, 47 this morning outside. So it cools off nicely, but then it gets rather warm in the day. But we usually experience a 30 to 40 degree temperature swing. And because of that, in order to keep the house cool, we open all the windows at night, and we have fans in the windows, and we circulate the air, and it gets rather cold at night. And my pillow is right next to the window in the bedroom where I have a fan blowing in. And so I wake up every morning kind of stuffed up, both from, you know, the pollens and stuff that are being blown in and just the cold air. So excuse me if I cough and wheeze my way through the podcast this morning. All right. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared Yahweh, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your servant woman has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said to her, "Go, ask for vessels for yourself and for those outside, from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour out into all those vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. Now it happened that when the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one vessel more." And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest." Now there came a day when Elisha passed over to Shunem, where there was a prominent woman, and she prevailed upon him to eat food. Now it happened, as often as he passed by, that he turned in there to eat food. And she said to her husband, "Behold now, I know that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. Please, let us make a little walled upper chamber, and let us set a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand, and it will be when he comes to us that he can turn in there." Now it happened that one day he came there and turned into the upper chamber, and there he lay down. Then he said to Gehazi, his young man, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her, and she stood before him. And he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Would you be spoken for to the king or to the commander of the army?'" And she answered, "I live among my own people." So he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Truly, she has no son, and her husband is old." He said, "Call her." So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. Then he said, "At this season next year, you will embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant woman." Then the woman conceived and bore a son at that season the next year, as Elisha had said to her. Then the child was grown, and the day came when he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, "My head, my head." And he came to his young man, "Carry him to his mother." Then he carried him and brought him to his mother, and he sat on her knees until noon, and then died. Then she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind him and went out. And she called to her husband and said, "Please send one of the young men and one of the donkeys that they may run to the man of God and return." And he said, "Why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It is well." Then she saddled a donkey and said to her young man, "Drive and go. Do not hold back the pace for the ride for me unless I tell you." So she went and came to the man of God, to Mount Carmel. Now it happened that when the man of God saw her at a distance, he said to Gehazi his young man, "Behold, there is the Shunammite. Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." Then she came to the man of God to the hill and took hold of his feet. And Gehazi came near to push her away, but the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is bitter within her, and Yahweh has hidden it from me and has not told me." Then she said, "Did I ask for a son from my lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand and go. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him. And lay my staff on the boy's face." Then the mother of the boy said, "As Yahweh lives and as your soul lives, I will not forsake you." And he arose and he followed her. Now Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So he returned to meet him and told him, saying, "The boy is not awakened." Then Elisha came into the house, and behold, the boy was dead and laid on his bed. So he entered and shut the door behind them both and prayed to Yahweh. Then he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself on him, and the flesh of the child became warm. Then he returned and walked in the house once back and forth and went up and stretched himself on him, and the boy sneezed 7 times, and the boy opened his eyes. Then he called Gehazi his servant and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her. Then she came up to him and said, "Take up your son." Then she came in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, and she took up her son and went out. Now Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. As the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, he said to his young man, "Put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets." Then one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it wild gourds, filling his cloak, and came away and sliced them into the pot of stew, for they did not know what they were. So they poured it out for the men to eat, and it happened that as they were eating of the stew, they cried out and said, "O man of God, there is death in the pot," and they were unable to eat. But he said, "Now bring flour," and he threw it into the pot, and said, "Pour it out for the people that they may eat." Then there was no harm in the pot. Now a man came from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread from the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. And he said, "Give them to the people that they may eat." And his attendant said, "What? Will I give this before 100 men? But he said, "Give them to the people that they may eat, for thus says Yahweh, they shall eat and have some left over." So he gave it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of Yahweh. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master, and highly respected. Chapter 5. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master and highly respected, because by him Yahweh had given salvation to Aram. The man was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Arameans had gone out in marauding bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, I wish that my master were before the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy. Then Naaman went in and told his master, saying, Thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Aram said, Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he went and took in his hand 10 talents of silver and 10,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, So now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy. Now it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, Am I God to put to death and to make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But know now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me. Now it happened, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king, saying, Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean. But Naaman was furious and went away, said, Behold, I said to myself, He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of Yahweh his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in wrath. Then his servants approached and spoke to him and said, My father, had the prophet spoken with you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says to you, Wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God with all his camp, and came and stood before him and said, Behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So now please, take a blessing from your servant. But he said, As Yahweh lives, before whom I stand, I will take nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, If not, please let your servant at least be given 2 mules' load of earth, for your servant will no longer offer burnt offering, nor will he sacrifice to other gods but to Yahweh. In this matter, may Yahweh pardon your servant, when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, Yahweh pardon your servant in this matter. And he said to him, Go in peace. So he went from him some distance. Then Gehazi, the young man of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, Behold, my master has spared this Naaman the Aramean by not receiving from his hands what he brought. As Yahweh lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman, and Naaman saw one running after him. So he came down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all at peace? And he said, All is at peace. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, just now 2 young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them 1 talent of silver and 2 changes of clothes. Then Naaman said, Be pleased to take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of clothes and gave them to 2 of his young men. And they carried them before him. So he came to the hill, and he took them from their hand and deposited them in the house. Then he sent them in away, and they departed. But he came in and stood before his master. And Elisha said to him, Where have you been, Gehazi? And he said, Your servant went nowhere. Then he said to him, Did not my heart go with you when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to receive money and to receive clothes and olive groves and vineyards and sheep and oxen and male and female slaves? Thus the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your seed forever. So he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Chapter 6. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, Behold now, the place before you where we are living is too limited for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and each of us take from there a beam, and let us make a place there for ourselves where we may live. So he said, Go. Then one said, Please be willing to go with your servants. And he answered, I shall go. So he went with them, and they came to the Jordan and cut down trees. Now it happened that as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, Alas, my master, for it was borrowed. Then the man of God said, Where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. And he said, Take it up for yourself. So he sent forth his hand and took it. Now the king of Aram was warring against Israel, and he counseled with his servants, saying, In such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down there. And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, so that he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Then the heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, Will you not tell me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, No, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, Go and see where he is, that I may send and take him. And it was told to him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. So he sent horses and chariots and a heavy military force there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Then the attendant of the man of God arose early and went out, and behold, a military force with horses and chariots was all around the city. And his young man said to him, Alas, my master, what shall we do? So he said, Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Yahweh, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And Yahweh opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And they came down to him, and Elisha prayed to Yahweh and said, Strike this people with blindness, I pray. So he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Then Elisha said to them, This is not the way, and this is not the city. Walk after me, and I will walk you over to the man whom you seek. And he walked them over to Samaria. Now it happened that when they had come into Samaria, Elisha said, O Yahweh, open the eyes of these men that they may see. So Yahweh opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Then the king of Israel went and saw them, and said to Elijah, My father, shall I strike them down? Shall I strike them down? And he said, You shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and walk back to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them, and they went, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. And the marauding bands of Arameans did not come again into the land of Israel. Now it happened afterwards that Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, gathered all his military camp and went up and besieged Samaria. Now there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it, until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver, and a fourth of a cab of dove's dung for 5 shekels of silver. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, Save my lord, O king. And he said, If Yahweh does not save you, from where shall I save you? From the threshing floor or from the wine press? And the king said to her, What is the matter with you? And she said, This woman said to me, Give me your son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, Give your son, that we may eat him. But she has hidden her son. Now it happened that when the king heard the words of the woman, he tore his clothes. Now he was passing by on the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth beneath on his body. Then he said, May God do so to me and more also, if the head of Elisha the son of Shaphat remains on him today. Now Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. And the king sent a man from his presence. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, Do you see how this son of a murderer has sent to take away my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold the door shut against him. Is not the sound of my master's feet behind him? While he was still speaking with him, behold, the messenger came down to him and said, behold, this evil is from Yahweh. Why should I wait for Yahweh any longer? Now Matthew chapter 5. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the lowly, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out to be trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be guilty before the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be guilty before the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent will not hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last quadrans. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. But if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Now it was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no, Anything beyond these is of the evil one. You have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your garment also. And whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Give to him to ask of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brother, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Now the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, who hast safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance, to do always that is righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right. Federalist Friday. We are reading through the Constitution. We read the preamble and Article 1 last week. And so this morning we are going to read Article 2. Article 2, Section 1. The executive power shall be vested in a President of the United States of America. He shall hold his office during the term of 4 years and, together with the Vice President chosen for the same term, be elected as follows. Each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors, equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in the Congress. But no senator or representative or person holding an office of trust or profit under the United States shall be appointed an elector. The electors shall meet in their respective states and vote by ballot for 2 persons, of whom one at least shall not be an inhabitant of the same state with themselves. And they shall make a list of all the persons voted for, and of the number of votes for each, which list they shall sign and certify, and transmit sealed to the seat of the government of the United States, directed to the President of the Senate. The President of the Senate shall, in the presence of the Senate and the House of Representatives, open all the certificates, and the votes shall then be counted. The person having the greatest number of votes shall be the President. If such number be a majority of the whole number of electors appointed, and if there be more than one who have such a majority and have an equal number of votes, then the House of Representatives shall immediately choose by ballot one of them for President. And if no person have a majority, then from the 5 highest on the list, the said House shall in like manner choose the President. But in choosing the President, the vote shall be taken by states, the representation from each state having 1 vote. A quorum for this purpose shall consist of a member or members from 2/3 of the states, and a majority of all the states shall be necessary to a choice. In every case, after the choice of the President, the person having the greatest number of votes of the electors shall be the Vice President. But if there should remain two or more who have equal votes, the Senate shall choose from them by ballot the vice president. The Congress may determine the time of choosing the electors and the day on which they shall give their votes, which day shall be the same throughout the United States. No person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president. Neither shall any person be eligible to that office who shall not have attained the age of 35 years and been 14 years a resident within the United States. In case of the removal of the president from office, or of his death, resignation, or inability to discharge the powers and duties of the said office, the same shall devolve on the vice president, and the Congress may by law provide for the case of removal, death, resignation, or inability, both of the president and vice president, declaring what officer shall then act as president, and such officer shall act accordingly until the disability be removed or a president shall be elected. The president shall, at stated times, receive for his service a compensation, which shall neither be increased nor diminished during the period for which he shall have been elected, and he shall not receive within that period any other emolument from the United States or any of them. Before he enter on the execution of his office, he shall take the following oath or affirmation: I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Section 2. The President shall be Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and of the militia of the several states when called into the actual service of the United States. He may require the opinion in writing of the principal officer in each of the executive departments upon any subject related to the duties of their respective offices, and he shall have the power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. He shall have power, by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, to make treaties and to provided two-thirds of the senators present concur. And he shall nominate, and by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, shall appoint ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, judges of the Supreme Court, and all other officers of the United States, whose appointments are not herein otherwise provided for, and which shall be established by law. But the Congress may by law vest the appointment of such inferior offices as they think proper in the President alone, in the courts of law, or in the heads of departments. The President shall have power to fill up all vacancies that may happen during the recess of the Senate by granting commissions which shall expire at the end of their next session. Section 3. He shall, from time to time, give to the Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient. He may, on extraordinary occasions, convene both houses or either of them, and in case of disagreement between them, with respect to the time of adjournment, he may adjourn them to such time as he shall think proper. He shall receive ambassadors and other public ministers. He shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed, and shall commission all the officers of the United States. Section 4. The President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. All right, well, that's Section 2, or Article 2 of the Constitution on the office of the President of the United States. I hope you are finding these Federalist Fridays to be useful to you. As we think about how our nation is to be governed in the lead up to the next election, which is in November, as we will be selecting representatives in every office, and one third of the Senate will be up for re-election in November. And then, of course, we are just 2 years away from the next presidential election. It seems that when one election cycle ends, another one begins. And it is nothing if not interesting to see how God has ordained things to fall out. All right. Well, I wish you to have a great Friday. Have a wonderful weekend. Have a great day at church on Sunday. And we'll see you back here again next week. And just a reminder that beginning next Thursday up in Kalispell, I will be teaching a Bible study in the book of Ephesians. We're starting Thursday night at 6:30. And if you are in that area and would like more information about that, go ahead and email me at squirrelchatter@protonmail.com. I will get you all the information. You are more than welcome to come. Love to have you there. And that's going to be next Thursday night at 6:30 in Kalispell. So let me know and we'll get you plugged in and hope to see you there. All right. Have a great weekend. Remember, do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. And we'll see you again here next week for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.